Imagine being discovered for your talents without ever having to network at a stuffy industry party or pitch yourself to strangers. Picture waking up to find that your next employer has already been following your work for months, or that the side project you've been documenting online has attracted a community ready to support your next big move. This isn't fantasy. It's the new reality for creators who understand the power of showing their work. Austin Kleon's Show Your Work has become a creative industry bible since its 2014 publication, with everyone from established artists to Silicon Valley entrepreneurs adopting its principles. The book has sold over 400,000 copies worldwide and continues to influence how creatives approach building an audience in the digital age. Even Beyoncé reportedly keeps a copy on her bookshelf, a testament to how these ideas resonate with creators at all levels. In a world where we're constantly bombarded with polished end products, Kleon's approach feels refreshingly human. Share your process, not just your results. The lone genius myth has dominated our cultural understanding of creativity for centuries. We imagine brilliant creators working in isolation, touched by divine inspiration, emerging with masterpieces fully formed. This narrative is not just misleading, it's destructive. It suggests creativity is reserved for a select few superhuman individuals who possess some magical connection to the muses. A healthier model exists, one that music producer Brian Eno calls Scenius, the intelligence and intuition of a whole cultural scene rather than the genius of an individual. History's greatest creative achievements didn't emerge from isolated brilliance, but from vibrant ecosystems where artists, curators, thinkers, and theorists supported and influenced each other. Even those we consider lone geniuses were actually embedded in rich creative communities. Picasso had the Parisian art scene. Hemingway had Gertrude Stein's salon. The Beatles had Liverpool's music clubs. These weren't solitary figures, but active participants in dynamic creative conversations. Today's internet functions essentially as interconnected sceniuses without geographic limitations. Anyone can join these virtual scenes. There are no gatekeepers, no credentials required. Both experts and amateurs contribute to these digital communities, often with surprising results. In fact, amateurs frequently possess advantages over professionals. They take risks professionals won't, experiment more freely, and aren't afraid to appear ridiculous. They learn publicly, allowing others to learn from both their successes and failures. Sometimes amateurs teach more effectively than experts who've forgotten what beginners struggle with. Their raw enthusiasm inspires others in ways that polished professionalism cannot. In our rapidly changing world, we're all becoming amateurs in one way or another. Even seasoned professionals like Radiohead's Thom Yorke embrace this beginner's mindset. My greatest strength is that I don't know what I'm doing. This openness to uncertainty drives innovation. To begin showing your work effectively, commit to learning something in public. Find a scenius that interests you, notice what's missing, and fill those gaps with your efforts. Don't worry about monetization or expertise yet. Simply share what you love and your people will find you. As writer Dan Harmon puts it, find your voice, shout it from the rooftops, and keep doing it until the people who are looking for you find you. There's a fundamental distinction between artwork, the finished piece, and artwork, the daily behind-the-scenes process. Traditionally, artists were taught to keep their creative process private, toiling in secrecy until revealing a magnificent finished product. This approach made sense in a pre-digital world where distribution channels were limited and controlled by gatekeepers. But today's digital landscape has transformed how creators can connect with audiences. In our current era, artists can share as much or as little of their process as they choose. By revealing your day-to-day work, the thing you genuinely care about, you form a unique bond with your audience. Though vulnerability feels terrifying to many creators, especially those from pre-digital generations, people genuinely want to see how things are made. There's something magical about witnessing creation unfold. Audiences don't just want to discover great work, they long to be part of the creative process itself. Think about how popular making-of documentaries have become, or how cooking shows often attract viewers who never intend to make the recipes themselves. The process itself is compelling. When you share your process, you invite people into your world, rather than simply showing them the output. Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield demonstrated this brilliantly during his time on the International Space Station. Facing budget cuts to the space program, he wanted to generate public interest by connecting people with an astronaut's real life. With his son's help setting up social media accounts, Hadfield shared everything from stunning Earth photos to videos of mundane tasks like nail clipping and space station maintenance, all while performing his regular duties. Millions were captivated, including those who wouldn't normally watch live video of a couple of guys doing plumbing repair, but it's in space. Even if you're not an astronaut or traditional artist, your work has an art to it that would interest others if presented properly. When you feel like you have nothing to show, document your process instead. Keep journals, take photos, shoot video, turning the invisible into something visible. The documentation process itself brings clarity and a sense of progress while building a surplus of shareable material that can sustain your online presence during creative dry spells. Forget the myth of overnight success. Most overnight sensations represent about a decade of hard work. Rather than thinking in overwhelming time frames like decades or years, focus on days. The day is a manageable unit with a natural rhythm that makes sense for both creators and audiences. Each day, after completing your work, find one small piece of your process to share. What you share depends on your stage. Early on, share influences and inspirations. Mid-project, share methods or works in progress. After completion, show final products or cutting room scraps. For established work, report on audience interactions and responses. A daily dispatch proves more valuable than a traditional portfolio because it shows what you're working on right now, like getting DVD extras while the movie is still being made. The form doesn't matter: blog post, email, tweet, video. Just choose platforms that match your work and audience. Don't worry about being everywhere. Pick platforms strategically and abandon those that don't serve you. However, remember that anything posted online becomes public and permanent. The internet is a copy machine, writes Kevin Kelly, and those copies never leave. While you want your work to spread, don't share what you're not ready for everyone to see. Post as though everyone who can read it has the power to fire you. There's a crucial difference between sharing and oversharing. Sharing comes from generosity, offering something helpful or entertaining. Always run what you share through the "so what" test. Is this helpful, entertaining? Would I be comfortable with my boss or mother seeing this? When in doubt, let it sit for 24 hours before deciding. Robin Sloan adapts the economic concept of stock and flow to media. Flow is the daily stream of posts and updates that remind people you exist, while stock is the durable content that remains interesting months or years later. The magic formula is maintaining your flow while building your stock in the background. Your best stock often emerges from collecting, organizing, and expanding your flow. Social media functions like public notebooks, where patterns and themes eventually emerge. By recognizing these patterns, you can gather bits and pieces into something more substantial. Many ideas in Cleon's book started as tweets, became blog posts, then book chapters. Small things, over time, can grow remarkably big. While social networks come and go, nothing beats owning your own space online, a place you control that can't be taken away. Don't view your website as self-promotion, but as self-invention. Register your domain name, build a simple site, and maintain it over time. Fill it with your work and ideas. Your website becomes your sketchbook, studio, gallery, storefront, and salon. As Patti Smith learned from William Burroughs, build a good name, eventually that name will be its own currency. Just as 16th century Europeans kept wonder chambers filled with rare objects, we all carry collections that reveal our tastes and influence our work. These collections, whether physical bookshelves or mental scrapbooks, form who we are as creators. Collecting and creating exist on the same spectrum. Our tastes make us who we are. Before sharing our own work, we can share our influences, which often reveal more about us than our creations do. We must have the courage to love what others might consider garbage. What makes us unique is the diversity of our influences and how we combine elements of high and low culture. Don't feel guilty about what you enjoy. Celebrate it openly and connect with others who share your interests. Being authentic about your tastes creates genuine connections. As filmmaker John Waters says, "I don't believe in guilty pleasures. If you fucking like something, like it." When sharing others' work, proper attribution is essential, not just for the creator, but for your audience. Good attribution provides context, what the work is, who made it, how it was made, and where to find more. Online, hyperlinks are crucial for directing people back to original sources. If you can't properly credit something, don't share it. Your influences shape your creative DNA. By sharing them generously, you help others discover new things while revealing your own aesthetic sensibilities. This practice also forces you to articulate why certain works matter to you, deepening your own understanding of what drives your creative choices. Consider creating reading lists, playlists, or collections of images that have inspired you. Share the books that changed your thinking, the music that moves you, or the visual art that influences your design sensibilities. These curated collections become valuable resources for your audience while positioning you as a thoughtful curator within your field. Stories transform how people perceive your work. When people know where something came from, how it was made, and who made it, they value it differently. Our work doesn't speak for itself. The narratives we construct around it matter tremendously. Every interaction contributes to this ongoing story, so becoming a better storyteller makes sharing your work more effective. The structure of a story is its foundation. While life is messy and illogical, good stories are tidy and structured. We often need to edit our experiences to fit recognizable patterns. Most effective stories follow ancient structures, like the fairy tale format. Once upon a time, there was. Every day, one day, one day, because of that, that, because of that, until finally. John Gardner's plot formula also works well. A character wants something, pursues it despite opposition, and arrives at a win, lose, or draw. This mirrors the creative process itself. For pitches, use a three-act structure: past, where you've been, present, where you are now, and future, where you're going with help. Always speak directly to your audience in plain language, be brief, and master your storytelling through practice. When someone asks, "What do you do?" at a party, treat it as an opportunity to connect rather than an interrogation. Explain your work honestly and humbly in a way anyone can understand, from kindergartners to seniors. Tell the truth with dignity. If you're a student or working a day job, say so. Keep your professional bio short, factual, and free of adjectives. Don't call yourself aspiring or amazing. If you take photos, you're simply a photographer. And never describe yourself as a ninja, guru, or rock star unless you actually are one. The stories you tell about your work should evolve as your work evolves. Be willing to revise your narrative as you learn and grow. Sometimes the most compelling stories involve your struggles and failures rather than just your successes. Audiences connect with vulnerability and authenticity, the messy human elements behind the polished work. Teaching doesn't create competition, it creates connection. When you share your knowledge and techniques, you generate more interest in your work rather than diminishing its value. Even in secretive industries like barbecue, masters like Aaron Franklin openly share their methods because they understand that knowing a technique doesn't equal mastery. That comes only through years of practice and intuition. Share what you've learned immediately after learning it. create tutorials, share reading lists, and walk people through your process using pictures, words, and video. As blogger Kathy Sierra says, make people better at something they want to be better at. Teaching doesn't subtract value, it adds to it by creating closer connections to your work. Best of all, sharing your knowledge brings you into contact with people whose insights become your free education that goes on for a lifetime, as Christopher Hitchens described it. Teaching forces you to organize your thoughts and articulate concepts clearly. This process often reveals gaps in your own understanding, pushing you to learn more deeply. When you teach what you know, you're not just helping others, you're reinforcing your own knowledge and establishing yourself as someone worth paying attention to. Consider how you might teach something you know well. Could you create a simple tutorial, write a how-to guide, record a demonstration video? Even sharing a list of resources that helped you learn can be valuable to others. The key is generosity, a genuine desire to help others improve rather than just promoting yourself. Many successful creators have built their reputations primarily through teaching. They become known first for their ability to explain concepts clearly, which then creates interest in their creative work. This approach builds trust and goodwill that can sustain a long-term career. Human spam are people who only care about themselves and their work. They don't listen, they just broadcast. They want success without paying dues or engaging with their community. The best artists aren't looking for passive consumers, but potential collaborators and co-conspirators. If you want to be a writer, you must be a reader first. This principle applies to every creative field. To avoid becoming human spam, you must be genuinely interested in others and their work. Producer Adrian Young connected with Delphonic singer William Hart not through self-promotion, but by starting a genuine conversation about music he loved. Be an open node. If you want to get, you have to give. If you want to be noticed, you have to notice. Focus on the quality of your followers rather than quantity. Don't waste time chasing followers or connecting with people who don't genuinely interest you. As Lawrence Weschler suggests, being interesting means being curious and attentive, projecting interest outward. Success comes from doing good work, not from networking. As Steve Albini says, connections don't mean shit without quality work behind them. Simply make and discuss things you love, and you'll naturally attract like-minded people. The vampire test is a simple way to determine who should be in your life. If you feel depleted after spending time with someone, they're a vampire. If you still feel energized, they're not. This principle applies to people, jobs, hobbies, and places. Unlike Picasso, who notoriously sucked energy from everyone he met, sculptor Constantine Brancusi recognized this vampiric quality and refused to associate with him. Remember, vampires cannot be cured. Banish them from your life forever. Like knuckleball pitchers who form a brotherhood and share their rare techniques, you'll discover your true peers, those who share your obsessions and mission. These relationships are precious. Nurture them, praise their work, invite collaboration, share your secrets, and keep them close. They're the ones who'll keep your creative pitch alive. While online connections are valuable, transforming digital relationships into real-life friendships is even better. Meeting online friends IRL skips small talk. You already know each other's work. Attend meetups, grab coffee with local online friends, or connect when traveling. Show each other your favorite museums, bookstores, or cafes. The best thing about being online often happens when you take those connections offline. When you put your work into the world, you must prepare for criticism. Designer Mike Montero learned in art school that taking brutal critiques without personalizing them was his most valuable skill. To handle criticism effectively, relax and breathe. Fear is just imagination taking a wrong turn. Strengthen your neck by putting out lots of work and getting used to criticism. Roll with the punches by using criticism as fuel for new work. Protect truly vulnerable work if necessary, but don't avoid all vulnerability. Keep your balance by remembering your work isn't who you are. Be selective about whose feedback matters. Focus on those who care about you and your work. Beware of trolls who only want to provoke you, including the worst troll of all, the one in your head. Use block buttons, delete nasty comments, and consider turning off comments completely. As Natalie D notes, there's never a space under paintings in a gallery where someone writes their opinion. Criticism can be valuable when it comes from the right sources and with the right intentions. Learn to distinguish between constructive feedback that can improve your work and destructive criticism that only aims to tear you down. The former is worth considering, the latter is best ignored. Remember that even the most beloved works faced harsh criticism. J.K. Rowling was rejected by multiple publishers. The Beatles were told guitar groups were on their way out. Vincent van Gogh sold just one painting during his lifetime. Criticism, even harsh criticism, doesn't determine your work's ultimate value or impact. When criticism stings, use it as motivation. Channel that energy into creating more and better work. Sometimes the most powerful response to criticism isn't a defensive argument, but simply continuing to create and improve. Let your evolving body of work speak for itself. Artists need to eat and pay rent. Money for creative work must come from somewhere, whether from the work itself, a day job, a spouse, trust fund, grant, or patron. We need to abandon the romantic, starving artist notion and recognize that many beloved cultural artifacts were created for money. When you've built an audience, consider turning them into patrons. Start with simple donation buttons or buy me a coffee links. For bigger projects, crowdfunding platforms like Kickstarter work well once you've established a following. Be aware that patrons may expect input on how their money is used. Whether you choose donations, crowdfunding, or traditional sales, only ask for money when you're confident your work is truly worth something. Price it fairly, and don't be afraid to charge. Email remains the most reliable way to reach people. Unlike social media, email lands directly in inboxes. Collect email addresses from everyone interested in your work. Even multi-million-dollar businesses operate on this simple model. Give away great content, collect emails, then send offers when you have something to sell. Keep your own list, be clear about expectations, and never add someone without permission. Your subscribers will become your biggest supporters. Treat their trust with respect. Don't fear being called a sellout. Ambition isn't a dirty word. It's about striving for more opportunities to do the work you love. Say yes to opportunities that let you do more of what matters to you, and no to those that don't, regardless of money. As Dave Eggers notes, obsessing over selling out is something you eventually outgrow. What matters is doing good work and taking chances. The real risk isn't selling out, it's not changing at all. Be ambitious but generous, using your success to help those who've supported you. As your career grows, you'll need to balance saying yes with saying no to protect your creative time. Success brings responsibility. When you achieve something, acknowledge the role luck played and remember your obligation to help others who haven't been as fortunate. Share your platform, resources, and opportunities with those who've supported your journey. Careers have ups and downs, and success often comes simply to those who persist. As comedian Joan Rivers advised, in our business, you don't quit. When they cut off your hands, hold on with your elbow. You can't plan for success. You can only remain open to it and ready to seize opportunities when they appear. No project guarantees your next success. The key to sustaining a creative career is maintaining momentum through chain smoking, using the end of one project to ignite the next. Instead of taking breaks between projects, use what you've just completed to inspire what comes next. Ask what you could improve or what you missed, and immediately begin the next work. This creates a continuous chain of creation that keeps you moving forward regardless of external validation. Even with momentum, you'll occasionally need to recharge. Designer Stefan Sagmeister takes a full-year sabbatical every 7 years, finding that much of his subsequent work grows from ideas developed during this time. While most can't take such extended breaks, practical sabotages during commutes, exercise, or time in nature provide essential mental space. These breaks help separate work from life and prevent burnout. When you've mastered something, it's time to become a student again. Like comedian Louis C.K., who followed George Carlin's practice of throwing out material yearly to dig deeper, you must discard comfortable work to grow. This isn't starting over. It's beginning again with all your accumulated knowledge. Return to being an amateur. Learn openly. Document your progress and share as you go. When you find the right audience, they'll have as much to teach you as you have to share. The most sustainable creative careers aren't built on single breakthroughs, but on consistent, evolving work shared generously over time. By documenting your journey, teaching what you learned, connecting authentically with others, and persistently creating new work, you build not just an audience, but a community that supports your ongoing creative exploration. What would happen if you started showing your work today? What if you shared one small piece of your process? What if you documented what you're learning? What if you taught someone else a skill you've mastered? The answers to these questions might just transform your creative life and connect you with the very people who've been waiting to discover what you do.